Morning, church.
Good morning.
I'm going to have to talk to our pastor. Talk about me running out of town or doing things. This morning we want to talk about what you came here to do is worship. And sometimes we wonder, do we actually have it right? You know, am I just spinning my wheels? Just what is it? Some of us come, I got to be dressed just right. It's like a fashion show, as it were. And then you come and you're looking around and comparing things and everything. But then again, maybe it's where I sit. This is the only spot in church that I can sit that I can be comfortable and everything else. And when you find someone else there in your seat,
say it again, Lord.
You can't do anything else but sit there and glare at them and everything, and you just seem to lose all your praise because they're in your seat. And you just wondering, what is it about worship? How can divinity and humanity come together and we can reach that pinnacle of worship and understand what it is? Shall we pray? Yeah. Father in heaven, I pray that you just hide me, that you and you only be glorified. Yeah. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank thee. Amen.
Amen.
There's a story there in Psalms 51. It's dealing with David confessing of his sins. And it's the form of worship. They have a word called liturgy. It's your it's when that you have a fixed ceremony that describes public worship. And we have it here at Southside. Matter of fact, you got your bulletins. And we're pretty well scripted in there as to what we have outlined as our order of service. Is it all worship, or what part is worship and what part is not? And we have various things that we put in there, and hopefully that what we're trying to get is worship service. Well, this is the way we always did it. It's just the way it is. Well, let's look at the story of David and what he got himself into to cause him in Psalms 51 to write this public song, as it were, but of confession. Story goes that during that time that the men go out to war, that David didn't go. He stayed back. And while he was maybe looking over some of the reports from the battles coming in and anything, he happened to find himself on the roof, and he was looking around, and lo and behold, he see somebody else on another roof, and it's Bathsheba. And she is taking a bath and everything, and being that David is king, whatever the king wants, what? The king gets. And so he sent out his servants to go get her, bring her here, and they did. And it wasn't too long after that, David got a text. I'm expecting. Expecting what? You're the father. Well, now it's a mess. And so David's figuring, I can handle this. I know what I'll do. I'll bring the husband home, and we'll set things up and put it. And he goes through this, all the charade and everything, invites the man there and told him, why don't you go home and enjoy your wife and then go back to battle? But he informed the king, I can't do that. I just can't do that. And while my other man's out there in the battle and everything else, I just can't do that. And so David said, oh, okay then. I'll tell you what to do. Why don't you come back tomorrow, and just you and I. We'll sit down and have dinner and everything. And so David sets up everything, brings out all the little liquor that he has and everything. And they sit there, and they eat and drink and laugh and talk. And even when he's fully drunk, thinking that he had him, he said, well, now, why don't you just go home and be with your wife? But even in this state, a mind that he finds himself in, inebriated as he is, he does not go into his house. He sleeps outside the door. He says, I just couldn't do it, King, because I know that my other men's out there, they're dying and fighting and everything, and I just couldn't do it. David said, okay. He goes to his desk, gets a pen, writes out an order, pours the wax on it, stamps it with his seal, gives it to him, her husband there, and he tells him, take it back to those that are in charge, and I appreciate it. And not knowing, the man was taking his death warrant. In the letter he had sent, he said, well, when the battle gets the hottest, I want you to withdraw from him and let him die in the battle. And the servants followed orders. When the battle got furious and everything, they withdrew. And the man was slain. Now David feels justified. Well, now I can married the woman with clean hands, he thinks. Nathan, the prophet, comes along and he said, your king, I have a story. And he says there was this man that had this little lamb. But then this rich man, he had a whole bunch of other lambs, and he took his only one and slew it for a party. And so David said, well, wait a minute, this doesn't seem right. You know, it's not right that this guy can do this. And so he said he ought to be made to pay for this and be put into prison and everything. And Nathan tells him, it's you. It's you. You're the one. You're the man. And here we find this. In Psalm 51, we find this public prayer, as it were. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to your multitudes of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sins. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sins are ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. I have done this evil in thy sight, that thou may be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin, and did my shapen in sin, and did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in thy inward parts, and in the hidden part, thou makest me to know the wisdom. So David is laying it out here on the line. I did it. I admit it. And this is this form of worship that David is doing here. It's where divinity and humanity comes together. And we come to worship here every Sabbath, thinking that we're going to have this communion of divinity and humanity. Sometimes we find ourselves walking out, before service is over. We can only maybe if it's 2 hours and a half or whatever it is, that's all I can do. And God said, look, all I ask you is 1 day out of six, out of seven, 1 day, but yet we say all I can do is just a couple hours. Now we'll work 8 hours for the man, but all we got for God is maybe a couple hours. Now you understand where this walking out on God started from. Lucifer in heaven. You find it in volume 1 of the Spiritual Gifts, page 18. And he immediately left the presence of the Father. Went on his tantrum and doing his other thing, but he walked out. The immediate presence. He was a covering what?
Cherub.
Be careful. I know you can tell me. I got reasons why I'm going to believe you. Because I ain't the judge. God is the judge. He looks at the what? Heart. And that's what we want to understand about religious services and religious, when we come together, am I really having service? Am I really having worship? What is it that I'm doing? And why I can't find myself sometimes impatient or not. Now, there are about four things that should make up worship service. One of it is, we heard it today, the invocation. Then we have supplications with prayer. Then we have praise and thanksgiving. And then we have the Word of God. With the invocation, what we are doing, we're actually inviting the presence of God to be with us here in the service. And we invoke that. You know, Father in heaven, we come before thee at this time, inviting your Holy Spirit and your presence to be here in this building. And we just want him present here. We just want his whole spirit here, that we can just worship him and just adore him. And that's what the invocation does. It helps to invite him to be a part of this service. Amen? Remember, worship isn't about you, as it is about God. It's like the way we look at the sun and the earth and we say, well, we talk as if the sun moves around the earth. But that's not true, is it? It's the earth that moves around the sun. The sun is the center of our universe here, and the earth moves around it. The same way with worship. Christ is the center of our worship. And sometimes our mindset is not quite right. Even all week, we're supposed to be preparing for it. Matter of fact, when the sun goes down this Sabbath, we're supposed to be preparing for the next Sabbath so that we can have worship service. And yet somehow we just get so caught up and everything else is crowded into our minds and everything. And we come here on Sabbath, mind just all jumbled up with other things, and we just cannot seem to get the worship on. Our attention span is too short. We want to go home. We want to, everything is going wrong. And we just cannot have worship service like God intended for us to have it. Amen? Yeah, I know I walked up here this morning and, uh-oh, he ain't got no shoes on. My goodness, my goodness. But remember when Moses was out there in the wilderness, the bush was burning. Take off your shoes. This is what? Holy ground. We invite his presence in here so that we can come and worship him. Amen? Well, we don't act like it. I said, well, let me take off my shoes today and see what.
I know they say he done lost it. He done lost it.
But the thing is, we don't expect to come here, you know, to take off our shoes or anything else because we don't feel like we're in his what? In his presence. And I think that if we understand that, that there might be a lot more than be kicking off some shoes around you. Amen? Because now I begin to realize what it's all about. That maybe the prophet says, woe is me. I'm a man of what? Unclean what? Lips. And I live with people of what? Meaning that my conversations is not acceptable. Even on the Sabbath, I find myself still doing other things that with my mouth that I shouldn't be saying things and everything else. I just forget. And it becomes a what? A habit. And we do it so often, and we miss out on what God intended for this to be. A moment with him. Amen? A moment with him. And he said, I want to bless you beyond blessings. You're the apple of my eye. You are a peculiar people. And I want to bless you so much. But when you come here with it's not even right. We find here in Micah chapter 6, you know, what do you want, Lord? Do I have to bring in all the lambs and the oil? And is that what you're looking for? And in Micah chapter 6, it talks about that, 6:6. But in 7 and 8, it tells us that he said, all I want is a contrite heart to love and to have mercy. Amen? Exemplify his character in our lives. Amen? And that's what it's all about. We want to be Christ-like. Amen? But sometimes we come here, it's just nowhere near it. And we think that we have it, and yet he said it's unacceptable. What you're doing for today is unacceptable. And we pride ourselves that I came tonight, we live church, we have worship. The thing is, sometimes we want to make sure that what we're doing is the right thing. Amen? And in verse 18 of chapter 51, start at verse 16. He says, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou desirest not burnt offering. The sacrifice of God are a broken and contrite what? Heart. O thou God, will not despise. He said, that's what I'm looking for. Amen? When you come here on Sabbath expecting a blessing, you got to come confessing your sins, asking God to forgive you of those sins, and to help you to be with him, to try to blend that humanity with divinity. Amen? I think that sometimes we just it's so much as a habit that we come here and not realizing that we do more disservice sometimes. And we wonder why things doesn't happen, you know, for, well, don't look like the Lord is blessing. Don't look like the... And we forget that when the children of Israel, when they didn't do things right, what happened? They found themselves not being blessed. Rain didn't come. Locusts came, ate up the crops, all that kind of stuff. All because what? They was not obedient. They did not follow. And we down here in this age is thinking that, you know, we don't have to worry about that kind of stuff these days. Yes, you do. You can't get promotion on a job. You can't get advancement. It's a lot of different things you could have. But life is such a struggle. And truly, he's challenged us sometimes, amen? And he wants us to really desire what he's wanted to give you. He wants you to appreciate it. But the thing is, sometimes we just mess it all up. And we just don't know what to do. And we find ourselves sometimes, we come here on Sabbath and just wasting it. I think, my goodness, what can we do to get it right? And I thought that maybe we'll just talk about worship, giving him some praise. Amen? The one part that I like is when we have supplications that sometimes we have testimonies. That's the worship. That's the praise. This is what God loves. Amen? I remember when the little children was scamping around and they saying, well, get away from the, you know, don't bother the master. And he said, suffer the little children what? Sometimes we just don't know what God likes. He said, I like the young people. I like the kids fussing over me all the time. I like that. And yet sometimes we just, when we have those little sessions of prayer sometimes, and they begin to express, Lord, what you've done for me, and I appreciate it. That's worship service. Amen? That's what it is. That's worship. And we just don't have enough of it. Amen? We always looking, well, you know, look at the clock. How fast can we get out of here? What can we do? It's not, you know, we could say we want to be saved and yet realizing that we will spend eternity with him. Wonder where you want to be going then. Are you going to be satisfied in heaven because, you know, they're going to be there talking about him all the time, angels praising him and people praising him and everything, and yet you looking at your clock? I don't think so. You might not be there. I don't think. Because you just won't be happy there. You just won't be happy. And so what we want to do is that let me re-examine what worship is to me. Amen? And that I might find myself giving God praise. Amen? And learning how to blend that humanity and divinity in my life. Amen? And so that we can understand. And what I'd like to do right now is to invite you down and say, well, maybe we just haven't come before God like we should have. Amen? Maybe you're sitting there thinking that, well, you know, really, if I had an opportunity, I could really, well, today is your opportunity. Why don't you just come down and be before God, and we invited his presence here today, amen, and we just want to give him some praise, amen, for what he's done for you. He watched over you. He kept you, even things that you didn't even see coming. He still shielded you from it. And you would think that, my goodness, I haven't had opportunity to thank him. I would just like to invite you to come down here this morning at this time. Amen? And we just want to have just a little talk with Jesus. Amen? Because God says, I just want you to be the reflection of me. And the only way we can do that is by imitating him, amen? Coming down and giving God some praise, amen? I know it maybe does make any difference, you say, if I do or if I don't. Understand one thing. The angels are writing down every time there was an opportunity for you to give God some praise, and you didn't. And those things are written down. Because if you find yourself lost, you're going to say, what happened? What didn't I do? And then they're going to read it. You didn't respond. You didn't say the thing, you didn't do the thing that you should have. But maybe, just maybe, that there is a word or two somebody just like to give some praises to God. Amen? For all the goodness that he's done for us. Amen? For watching over us, for the things that he do, for offering us have a chance at eternal life and to be in his presence daily. Oh, what a blessing it is. And this whole drama is all for your benefit and for the unfallen worlds and for the angels themselves. He said, I'm gonna eliminate sin once and for all. And we're the ones that's part of this here process. And we just want to, it says somebody just like to say a word or two before to God, acknowledging what he has done in your life.
I would just like to thank you, Lord, for marriage. Thank you for my wife, Lord, she's always taking care of me. She's always cooking something, trying to make it taste a little bit better. Trying to make it sure it's a little more healthy. Mm. Just taking care of me, Lord. Showing me when I need to turn. Usually I'm headed straight ahead. I have blind vision, and my wife will give me a little tap and say, I think the Lord wants us to go this way. He gives her wisdom. He gives her dreams sometimes. Ever since I met her, Lord, and I just thank you for marriage. I thank you for a godly wife. It's like the Bible says, it's worth more than all the treasures in the world. And I just want to thank you, Lord. And Satan hates marriage. It's under attack today. And I just want to thank God and praise him for the institution of marriage and for my marriage. And I ask him to bless it and bless each marriage under the sound of my voice. In Jesus' name, amen.
Anybody else?
I just want to praise the Lord this morning for spiritual peace. Thank you, him, for bringing me into his house of praise, because this week I've looked in the face of pain. Young people who are hurting from anger, from grief, from hurt, just all kind of pain. And to just be able to come into the house of the Lord and give him praise this morning is a blessing, and to receive his peace, because I know in church we just take it for granted, and sometimes we miss it. We come in here and we don't feel the peace of the Lord, but it's here. Because I don't know if you heard about the young people who were in the bus at the LA Unified School District. 10 of those young people won't see life again. Parents lost their children. And we sit in here and we complain about our children.
Anybody else?
I just want to praise the Lord for he being my healer. For the last 2 months, I've had pain. I hit my knee. And it's been paining so much. And even when I come down and kneel, it hurts so bad. But today, I'm healed. And I praise God that there's no more pain.
Good morning, church. I just want to give God praise for his son that came down here. I want to give God praise for my mother and father. They both had their home gone, and they're not here anymore. But us, it's three of us, and God blessed them that I can't remember having with my parents a need for something. We had three good meals, and I know things, because I stayed in the house all the way. I got a whooping just because I wouldn't go outside. I remember nights when we had scrambled eggs, bacon, and biscuits. I thought that was a treasure because that was breakfast. And I just thank God for my two sons. Charles, he got a heart of gold. Okay. My son, Dion, he's I say he's like a energy hound because he's steadily going and working. And right now, I just want to pray for Charles because his blood pressure is very high. He's very high, dehydrated. And he didn't want to go to the hospital. He wanted to come here. So I told him we're going to the best hospital. Doctor got the best medicine. He knows how to treat you just by touching you. Or just going, and you'd be well. So right now, he's in a sleep because it was so high. And I just want to thank God that my son is here when he could be out in the streets.
That's right.
Trying to find something to help him get well. But he came to the house of the Lord to get well. And I want to pray for my son that he make it back. He went to Texas. He's flying back. And I just want to tell God, thank you. That's all I want to say. Thank you. Thank you.
You know, as my wife was talking about the grief and all that and the accident that happened, you know, it reminded me again, and this will be probably another repeat, because a couple of weeks ago, on a Monday, I had to go back to the hospital because they had found another tumor in my bladder. It's the second time. And I had forgotten that I was not supposed to eat at night after midnight. But I did in the morning. I had my breakfast. So when I got to the hospital, they asked me, and I said, oh, yes. He says, well, we can't do the surgery because we can't put you to sleep. I says, you're not going to put me to sleep anyway, so you might as well do it like the first time. He says, but what about pain? I says, hey, forget about the pain. You're going to do it without no putting me to sleep. I says, I don't believe in that. I said, my brother died just for a hernia. Went in there, he never came out of the anesthetic. I said, so you're not going to put me to sleep. So he says, well, okay, we're going to do it then. I said, go ahead. So I prayed and I said, Lord, just like the time before, take that pain away from me that I don't feel anything. And I went under and I was watching in the monitor. I see all the blood going all over the place and stuff. And then at the end, the doctor says, well, we're going to cauterize it, what we cut all this stuff out. And you might feel some pain, you know, the electricity going through. I said, don't worry about it, just do it, do it. And he did. When he was done, he says, you're done. I said, am I? He says, yeah. I said, how do you feel? I said, I don't feel nothing. I didn't feel no pain at all. So you see, God answers prayer. God answers prayer. So I thank the Lord for that.
I think sometimes it's unity. That's what God is looking for in the church, unity, oneness. I think a lot of blessings, a lot of healing is going to be taking place just because we come down and we pray. And sometimes we're going to turn around and walk away. Hey, I don't feel no pain no more. I feel better. Some things are going to happen like that. And I think this is what worship service is all about. This is what worship is all about. Anybody over here?
I just want to praise the Lord for the trials. I tell you, the trials bring me so much closer to Him. When there are times when I said, oh, Lord, I'm going to pray, but I'm tired right now. That doesn't happen during a trial. I mean, you're on your knees. Because you want God to hear you and help you. So truly, I thank Him. I thank Him for them. I bless Him for them. Because I come so close to Him. He's like a brother. He's a friend. He's everything to me. Everything to me during those times. And if there's fear involved, He takes that away. He comforts me. He loves me. He talks to me. He walks with me, and I thank Him for it, and I praise Him for it. And I said, Lord, you know, I don't like the trials. No one wants to go through trials. But Lord God, I thank you for it because it draws me closer and still closer to you.
I just want to praise God for who he is. Oftentimes we look at this and that we want and he gives it and all that. But I just want to praise him because he's my everything. Everything I ever need, he's there. And he granted according to his will. I want to thank God for the wonderful family he has given me. 30-some grandkids, 20-some great-grandkids. And he allowed me to still have 10 children. I just thank God for that. Because, Lord, you've been my everything. And I just want to praise you for giving me, making me a co-labor with you to help me to seek and save the lost. That's your heart, is to find them.
Happy Sabbath. Many of you guys know that I was in an accident December 5th, and I went to my specialist, Dr. Marshall, on Monday, and he asked my wife, "Does your husband have life insurance?" I'm like, my wife was all like worried, right? Well, the accident caused my aorta to have a minimum hemorrhage. My aorta, the man was stunned and said 9 out of 10 people do not survive this. And I'm, you must have a God that you have. I'm just thankful that I'm here. And they're gonna do a scan just for protocol. My back's messed up. He wasn't worried about my back. My back's messed up. But he was worried about this. Either it healed on its own or what. But just keep me in prayer that my God is good, and I'm thankful for everything I've got. I'm thankful for everybody's prayers, and I'm thankful for everything. And I'm thankful for my wife, my kids, and the church for praying for me and for my God. Because I got in that same week, I got in an accident twice that week. The first one, I didn't get hurt, and the same spot where I got hurt. And I just thank God that I'm here. If God, it wasn't my time. Maybe God has something in store for me. But whatever it is, I'm gonna serve my God 100%.
I think this is the worship that we've been looking forward to. Amen?
I just want to praise God because he is with you even in the small things. And for me, I've been working on, a lot of you know that I'm in school working to be a therapist. And I had this major paper due, and I really, the professor gave us so many guidelines. I still didn't know how to do this paper. I didn't know how to write it. And I was just like, Lord, help me. That was the theme for that paper because I didn't know. And I would just write stuff, and I'm like, Lord, help me. Write another page. Lord, help me. Write another paragraph. Lord, help me. And to this day, I can't even tell you what I wrote because I don't know. Like, I just wrote and kept writing. And I had another final that I was doing that I was writing for. And as I was, you know, kind of asking God to help me write this paper and to, you know, do what I have to do, he sent, my professor sent me an email on the other paper that I had asked him to help me on. And I got an A-. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. I just wanted to cry. That was my first reaction, just because God is so good. He wants you to succeed. He opens doors for you. Not only does he open the doors, he keeps them open for you to go through and do what you got to do. And he will walk with you every step of the way. And I'm just so grateful for my A-. And I know that he helped me with this other paper. So I'm looking forward to getting the grade with that for that. But just I'm just so grateful to God for everything that he's done. And just the fact that I'm here, never thought I would ever in my life come to California and just land in this beautiful church family. How you guys have taken us in. And I'm grateful for my husband and life and everything. And just thank you, Jesus, for everything.
Oh, my goodness. This is what God likes to, amen? This is a worship that he likes. He likes for you to be giving praise, amen? You know, get outside the box a little bit. give me some praise and worship. And come together, and I will bless, amen? That's what's taking place, amen? Shall we bow our heads? Father in heaven, again, we just want to give you praise and give you honor. Thank you for your mercy and for your love.
And we, like David, dear Father, we realize that we have sinned. We've done things, we have said things, we have omitted things that we should have been doing. But we just ask for your forgiveness and help us and bless us accordingly. We ask, dear Father, that you blot out our sins completely and wash up, as David said, with hyssop, that we might be white as snow. We just thank you so much, and we just take this moment this day to give you praise and to acknowledge who you are and to worship with you on this Sabbath day. We just thank you abundantly. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.